skill, what spell would you learn first?
Which either like magically be able to divide myself so I can do multiple things at the same time, or to like turn like leaves into money, you know, like something very crazy. Like, just like
self-resolving.
Yes, turn so I can just create money. Yeah, those two. All
right, and with that, we have quorum. Next item of business will be approval of the minutes from February 26th. Are there any discrepancies with the minutes? Discrepancies with the minutes? Discrepancies with the minutes? Seeing none. Community comment. Is there anyone from the community who wishes to comment? Community comment? Community comment? Community comment? Seeing none. Committee updates. First for committee updates will be health and housing.
Thank you.
library is becoming, I believe, it should be the primary resource of our community. And we should be good right then. All the programs, basket, poster, and the chase, and the way you can work on the building management. And we will spend an announcement for the homeowners, the homeowner lawyers, any questions for the Health and Housing Trust? Senator Whitman?
The possibility of that services blocking the council for the benefit of the homeowners.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite low. Since it's quite correct, the regular efforts for the community. And it's actually just the way it's collected by Dynam Service. But out of the trash becomes collected by exploration management. So Dynam Service only has the resources and only wants to keep all the resources. That's why they did not put that trash bin of just anywhere in the same part of the trash. And yeah, I have not done all that. They claim that they do not have the resources for it. And at the same time, they also suggest that it does not really make 100% to put a host in the normal zones, but rather use whatever you want to make something important. And that's where the proposed cash should be, should exist in the context. Any further questions for the Health and Housing Chair? Questions? Seeing none? Administrative Director?
I'm doing the health advocate assessment. And you know how to do it. So please do an aspect.
There's a statement on the website of the U.S. Department of Education saying that Title IX protects people from discrimination based on sex in education programs or activities that receive federal financial assistance, which I'm not sure if like the choir program of our school is the education program that receives the federal financial assistance. So technically, we don't think it's like a Title IX case. But we still emailed Brandon Bean, the director of the choir program, and he said that he's aware of the situation and is actively looking for a solution. So that's one. Then several charges were charged during the retreat. The due date for final grades will be updated soon. Open conversation teaching like about political issues. So I talked to Mary McHugh, who was in the Dean's office, and she said that they already submitted a Freedom of Statement to President Bergman, and they're just waiting for her to pass it. So basically, it's like an honor code for the professors, so they have to abide by that when engaging in or starting any political conversation. So like to behave and to like have certain manners and behaviors. Oh, and then also some professors in the communication department are planning a course called Discourse in Dialogue, so in which they will talk about how to have water fountains in academic buildings, physical plan that's saying that they're actually planning to install 7 new water fountains to the buildings in the summer, and they asked us to make a prioritized list of the 7 buildings that they want, that we want. So we're thinking the Madison Hall, that's the education nursing hall, Owen and Beck, but I think that these two buildings have already have water fountains. We'll come up with something else. And then Nobel, this one's under construction. So, I need to worry about this. And then Convict, Old Main, Fine Arts Center, and Anson Hall. So if you guys have any like other suggestions, we're open for it. And then there's an event for like a project charge, which was like this last spring summer. Just basically for seniors to get them prepared when they graduate. So we're actively working with career development, and this project will be in place on about April the 26th. So, yep.
Are there any questions for the student academic affairs chair? Senator Wicklin?
I think this is the first time I actually have been asked regarding the Title IX funding. Like, I know this part of the program is directly funded, but like coming, being under the college.
Yeah, I would answer that question that it's an institutional responsibility, and we do receive federal funds, thus we are obligated to uphold Title IX.
Okay, so I just want to get clear then that would be a Title IX violation then because it was unequal. And then a question for the chair is like, did Dr. Dean tell you specifically how the program is trying to address it, or like their timeline for addressing it? Because since I've been inquired, at least like he's always every single year recognized, I know they heard whatever and moved on. So it seems like he's been aware of the problem, but there hasn't been a lot of change.
Yeah. Can I also just jump in? I don't know that we can just like sweepingly announce that it's a Title IX violation. Like, I think we'd have to like, this has nothing to do with whether or not it's important.
Yeah.
It has everything to do with the technicality of, does it meet the criteria of a Title IX violation? And so I just would want us to be careful to just like assume that it's absolutely a Title IX violation. It may or it may not be a Title IX violation. More importantly, there's a substantial number of our students who want some assistance in changing something, whether it's a Title IX violation or not. So it's an excellent thing for this body to consider, but we should just be careful about saying it is or it isn't a Title IX violation.
But yeah, the question was just like, have you been given like a timeline or
we haven't really indicated any timeline, so we just know that he's aware of the situation.
Okay, would it be possible to get more details from them, like their families, like just so that we know that there's all these things?
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Young?
Oh, my goodness.
Senator Young?
For those, the drinking fountain thing, was that from the water bottle thing? Is that the same thing? Or did you know the drinking fountain is from the college or just have the drinking bottle that was just in the community?
I believe it's just a fountain.
Okay.
Further questions for the student academic affairs chair? Further questions? Chair Taven.
Can I suggest that instead of suggesting Nobel, that it means for your students to be suggesting Nobel to me? I mean, if there's been a lot of students that are everywhere in that building, and part of the plan, and the students are building on that, like, very good, and people know that they're going to be a good outcome.
So we're planning, like we're still building ideas and finalizing things, but basically there will be young alums who have recently graduated coming back and just like talk about not like their career or things like that, but more like when they graduate, what is the most surprising thing to them? So what kind of, what they did not expect when they were in college. And then there will be someone from the finance rate office, coming in and talking about loan repayment, and then there will be someone talking about tax and life financing, and so those kind of stuff.
Any further questions? Seeing none.
So the water fountains, we found them all in Olin and Beck, but I'm aware that those two buildings really have like water fountains. But do you guys have any other suggestions for that? I know that we went and saw two in the middle of the building.
Another thing you could do, I'm not saying you do, but you could do is you could go to the registrar's office and ask them which academic buildings have the highest number of classes being taught there, and then think about that as a way of apportioning give this building a two before this building gets one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Further questions or comments? Seeing none, are there any other committee updates? All right. On to old business. The first order of old business will be a bylaw vote, which I will turn over to our office person.
So basically, we're voting on the bylaw that we talked about last week, having to do with the co-president writing a letter in the event of a student passing. Death of a current student or a current employee at your status, write a handwritten note to the family of the deceased expressing our condolences on behalf of the student body. That is in the section that says the co-president shall, so it doesn't make sense. So
So with that, this is the new proposed language on this. The first thing we're going to do now is going to be opening the floor for discussion about this. So we're moving into the vote for this, which means at the end of this discussion, we will vote on whether or not we choose to put this into our bylaws. With that, is there any discussion? discussion? Senator Lang?
The wording seems clear and concise, and the kind of a good message that the future co-presidents will be able to understand and properly respond to an unfortunate event. So I oppose the question.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Okay, seeing none, we will move into our vote. All those in favor of, oh no, we have to do a roll call vote. All right.
In the Constitution right now, in Article 3, it says, towards the bottom, all members must be in good academic standing and full-time students. No member may be on academic or disciplinary probation while serving on Senate. So, we have some options here. The first is that if we want to leave it like it is right now, it will say disciplinary probation, and that will be sweeping all action above disciplinary probation. And we can add something into the bylaws that would be like a mechanism for checking that throughout the semester. If you guys want it to just be Title IX, it will require a constitutional amendment, and it will have mechanisms in the bylaws. So that's the first big question. And then beyond that, we can talk about whether we want it to be, if there's been a violation ever before, the semester before, or current or during the term. And that's kind of a conversation for after we decide this first deal. So, happy to take questions and feel free to jump in.
All right, with that, we're going to open the floor for questions for the person, O'Neill. Are there any questions, Senator Tuzel?
So it's the first, like, Article 3 chapter, is that what it is now?
Yes.
Okay.
Senator Wicklund?
Okay, so you probably know that kind of itemized, you can, like, start with this and then decide what we want, and then those other options.
Say that again.
I think you talked about, like, looking at this first and deciding what we wanted to do and then looking at the options. But okay, that might be hard to separate out because if I think about, say, like Title IX violations, perhaps someone wouldn't care if someone was like had a disciplinary probation in the past, but they might care if they had a Title IX or were on disciplinary probation for Title IX in the past. So I think timeline might change depending upon what they were found.
Senator Young?
So the adding an ISIS approach, would that include Title IX offenses? Or would that just leave the mechanism to check if during their time they are on action or probation?
Say that one more time, sir.
So would the checking mechanism, would that include Title IX? Or would that just be checking to see if they are on
We could, I mean, I think we could do whatever we want, or appropriate.
Student body review.
Yeah. Well, if we wanted to just be Title IX, the whole student body will have to agree. Or not the whole student body, the two-thirds of the student body, because they would be voting on the constitutional amendment. If we are okay with leaving it with the language it is right now that highlighted part of the top, which says no member may be on academic or disciplinary probation while serving on Senate, we can add in the mechanism to the bylaw without changing the strategy. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Seeing none, we're going to move into discussion about this. All right, discussion on all of this. Throw myself on here real quick. Okay, so one thing that I think should be considered is the timeline for constitutional amendments. If we are going to make a change for constitutional amendment, that means that we're going to consider whether. So when we change our constitution, you have to vote to consider, and then you have to vote it in, like our bylaws typically. But then the added thing on top of that is that we have to allow the student body to vote. The timeline for the student body vote is we have to post it at least 2 weeks prior to the vote happening. So it has to be publicized, and the whole student body has to be aware for at least 2 weeks that the vote is happening. With that considered, another thing to look at is that what that puts us as far as the timeline. If we are to vote that tonight, we're able to get that out, and which would be great. It would put the vote the week after spring break. Just considering with the timeline and all of that. And one of the things from previous years that has been discussed a lot is the reason why us have an easier mode of transformation or like the ability to clean it so easily is because those are the documents that are the clarifying documents, whereas the Constitution is more of like, here are the standards we've set for ourselves, and then in the bylaws we say, here's a continuation of what we mean by that, in case that clears up that for anyone and why a constitutional change is different than a bylaw change, and anything about that. I know there was some discussion about that 2 weeks ago, but I wasn't here and wanted to make sure that I reiterated it for this discussion today. All right, with that, discussion.
I'm just wondering if, Jonas, if you know if like the timeline for if someone receives a Title IX violation, how long it would take them to officially get academic discipline or probation. So maybe like I'd be more in favor of adding a Title IX in along with their academic and disciplinary, because there could be a space of time where someone could receive like, a Title IX violation without actually having probation.
So someone could have a violation of Title IX and not be placed on disciplinary probation.
Yeah.
Like they could do a lesser Title IX thing that wouldn't merit disciplinary probation, and then they wouldn't go on disciplinary probation, but they would still have a Title IX violation. The way the language currently reads, any violation of any college policy that rises to the level of disciplinary probation would theoretically prohibit you from serving on student senate. You still haven't fixed your problem of the fact that you don't have a mechanism in place for actually accomplishing that. But that's, I mean, I get that you're not dealing with that today. But so, I don't feel like I know what your question is.
Just what more of the question also comes to the whole senate is, should we add in the Title IX and not just do one or the other, either keeping that family disciplinary or doing Title IX, but put both in? Someone could have a Title IX violation without
rising
yeah.
to the level. Right. You could have a Title IX violation that represents that manifests itself in the sanction being a reprimand,
yeah.
which is lower than disciplinary probation.
Mm-hmm.
You could also have a Title IX violation that results in a suspension or expulsion, which is higher than disciplinary probation, but irrelevant because in suspensions and expulsions those students go away and thus are not allowed to come back on Monday nights and serve on student senate.
Mm-hmm.
Chair O'Neill?
I just want to clarify, as it stands, so like the lower level Title IX violation that she was talking about would be like in public or like something like that, right? And so if there is a Title IX violation that rises to the level of disciplinary probation, that would be I guess, the way it stands right now, but we are not currently checking for those on a rolling basis, so that would be where we are.
Further discussion? All right, with that, Senator Kugel?
I'm in favor of thinking how to add in the check to recurring funders. I think that there are some federal data violations like the bigger nation that don't merit I feel like this is a very relationship that I try really hard to like there's a, you have to do something pretty interesting to get there. So I'm fine with it at that level.
Or something a lot.
Chair Harbeck?
I agree with that. I think it's just like makes a lot of sense. I agree.
Chair Ripley? I would caution against the speeding language decision right now, just because what I heard from a lot of teachers was concerned with Title IX bullying bias specifically was that they did not want some, like, a survivor to have to know that someone who harmed them was, like, this public figure who was on the Senate and possibly was, like, high profile. It could potentially be a high profile figure. So even if those violations had occurred, like, a year ago, they would no longer be on disciplinary probation by the Senate. So I would personally be uncomfortable with reading the Constitution as it stands. Like I said earlier, I do want to go back to question a little bit more about timelines and see what they're thinking. But I'm still in favor of
myself. So considering the Constitution and considering Title IX violations, anything from my understanding of Title IX, if someone if a student on campus harms another student, that would for sure be disciplinary probation, correct?
It would depend on what you mean by harm.
Okay.
So if you have non-consensual sexual intercourse, non-consensual sexual touching, things that are of a physical nature,
mm-hmm.
the minimum sanctioning guidelines tend to be expulsion, suspension, and in some situations, disciplinary probation. It's things that would be non-touching. Non-touching.
That's where it gets the
Title IX violations that aren't touching are the ones that tend to be the lower. The minimum sanction guidelines tend to be the ones that are low.
Okay, thank you. And then considering the fact that right now what it stands is academic or disciplinary probation. One thing to consider would be in the bylaws, if we were to include a section that what the timelines are for academic and disciplinary probation, one thing that we could put in for a line that could go into the bylaws, just as an idea, would be if you've ever been on disciplinary probation, active status for a Title IX violation, you can never serve on student senate. And so you could have that as just an overarching, just if you've been if you've gotten disciplinary probation for a Title IX violation, you cannot serve on student senate, and that can be a clarification that would be put into the bylaws. So it has that disciplinary probation, and then we could consider other disciplinary probations if for some reason you want other disciplinary probations to be on a 2-year timeline. So after 2 years of receiving one, you can do it. But we do have that power where if we wanted to consider how Title IX played into the fact that we already have academic and disciplinary probation put into our Constitution, it could be that in our bylaws you just state that Title IX, anyone who has had a Title IX violation and has received disciplinary probation as a consequence cannot serve on student senate, and then we could add in under that applications to student senate will be monitored through the student's office. Any applications that have that are of someone who has had a Title IX violation will be ineligible, and anyone who receives a Title IX violation of disciplinary probation while they are on student senate will become ineligible for senate and will be asked by the dean of student's office to resign from their position. And so that way it's a conversation that doesn't involve other students here, which is the right of anyone during a hearing. Is that the right word? During a hearing, it's the right of both sides, I think. Anyways, but it still would get in that timeline for Title IX and saying that these
my gut reaction, and I'll leave it to the ethics committee to ponder through, but my gut reaction is that the spirit of the line in your constitution doesn't go as far as any violation of any other. So I do think that if you, my gut reaction would be that if you're going to move it to any kind of non-violation ever, you probably need to change your constitution.
Correct.
Okay.
So I would like to know, you have a constitution for that last month, to instead of what it currently says, say no member may be on academic probation for serving on the Senate or have ever been on disciplinary probation for Title IX violation.
And so just to clarify, you're getting rid of all of the things that people do that gets them on disciplinary probation except Title IX.
Yes. Is there a second to the motion? Wait, we're just discussing it right now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't even have to do...
Well, no, because she just made a motion, so once we have a motion on the floor...
Okay. Is there a second to the motion? Second to the motion? Second to the motion? Seeing none, the motion fails. Back into discussion. Another motion we still on the floor.
So I do think the altering of language in the similar to how I just proposed is important because in our last meeting was discussed whether an overwhelming majority of students agree with senators not being able to serve for Title IX violations, but not about senators, or we're not in favor of senators not being allowed to serve for other violations that involve disciplinary probation. So I do think it's important that we acknowledge what our and reflect that, and this will ultimately, if you do alter the Constitution, you vote on those two bodies, so it's actually supposed to be very widely and accurate. Data collection that we did, and then it obviously won't fail. But yeah, otherwise, I'd be in favor of just being able to refer to people who have time to talk to their constituents about what they would like to see in the timeline and how they would have this community for this bill of rights. So I'd rather be on it. Current probation or
Senator Young?
Or has ever been on disciplinary probation for Title IX violation?
Yes. Or has ever been on disciplinary probation
Yes.
So that's already been there.
Can I have this kind of
thing?
Yes. Hold on, a clarification for you. So, would you potentially consider it to be a new sentence that we put in there and have it be after that sentence, we add on a whole new sentence that says no one who has ever received disciplinary for Title IX violation and serve on the Senate. So that whole, it would just be a new sentence that would go in. Okay. That is my suggestion, but what do you do? All right, is there a second to the motion? Second goes to Senator Wicklund. All right, moving to discussion about the amendment. Can you get the language, the new proposed sentence to be added up here so that we can all look at it?
Member? No person.
Well, the other one is members, so that's all.
So do you, are you including cabinet?
Yeah.
I don't think you checking his cabinet on any of your probation files either. Yeah, just depending on what you mean by number.
Number should be anyone who's number of cards.
What?
Yeah, it's not competition. It should be under the first few sections of our constitution.
No matter.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Young, still the floor. All right, discussion on the amendment. Senator Concepcion.
To me, this sounds good. It seems like the best of both worlds because we still have the distinction between discipline and probation, but we also have the Title IX on it. So to me, it seems good.
Senator Whitman.
I'm also in favor of this. Kind of the that I got talking about Title IX was what I mentioned earlier is somewhat to a common law over a more egregious violation of Title IX, being kind of more public, powerful figure with the student body. So I believe that this will address that and I yield.
Senator
Hugel?
I disagree with this still. I think that there's still violations you could get that aren't Title IX that would make someone feel just as bad. Like, if I was to go meet someone up, like, that would feel bad for some of the powers. So, I'm still in favor of doing all of them, not just Title IX.
Further discussion? Senator Young?
Like just cutting for Title IX out of it.
So for any discipline, for any discipline,
yeah,
there are many.
Okay, discussion? Senator Concepcion?
So for Senator Schubel, would you want it to be like no member may be or have previously been on academic discipline probation? So that either. So no one can currently be or have been on any academic probation, including.
Yeah, but then it would just be included. Yeah, so the same.
Okay.
Alright, so, Advisor Ben Heck, a question for you. What are different things outside of, what is the breadth of disciplinary probation here on campus? Like, what is the breadth of different things that would you consider for disciplinary probation?
So, you might be placed on disciplinary probation if you physically hurt, like, you beat up somebody, if you sold drugs to somebody, if you had multiple serious drug or alcohol violations, if you had, like I would say normally it would take you probably 3 violations of college policy of just normal stuff to get to discipline and probation.
That's just normal stuff.
Like if you were in possession of alcohol as a minor, that's normal stuff. So if you were in possession of alcohol as a minor, it would take you doing that 3 times, which would make you extremely swollen to be before you get disciplinary probation. Like it's very rare for Gustavus students to have any violation without conduct policy, and it's very, very rare for students to have multiple violations of conduct policy. If you had a felony off campus, you might also probably be
anyone who has physically, or who has physically harmed another student in the past. I can see the concerns of that, of like the timeline on that. A part of me thinks that it's beneficial to clarify that with Title IX seen as the spirit of the original charge for this had to do with Title IX violations, considering the fact of So considering the original spirit of everything, considering that this, or what we want to do, and like the goal of all of this was to consider where Title IX violations fall into our place on this body, I think that there is some, either way, I think that there should be something where Title IX is set aside as something where we say that it will be tolerated. I think that that's an important point to make out in our constitution or in our bylaws, wherever it ends up. That is something that I think is a necessary move for this body. That being said, there's also a concern that has been brought up about disciplinary probation physically assaulting another student. With that, at the same time, I want to say just put a clarification of timeline in the bylaws, but then at the same time, that's exactly why we're putting Title IX clarification in the bylaws. And so there could be something to do with any physical harm to another student that could be added in. That's another thing for consideration. With that, I would like to speak. I yield, Senator Wicklund.
So my understanding of this would possibly a question for you on that is with what we're able to like release through FERPA or whatever to understand that as this body we are only able to separate out disciplinary probation or Title IX violations, but we wouldn't be able to separate out from disciplinary probation violations involving harming another person.
This body won't get to know any of that unless this body individually signs off on your right to confidentiality. So I don't know what you mean by this body is not.
More in the sense of being able to enforce it, because I believe we had a conversation in ethics about being able to either say disciplinary probation across the board or Title IX violation across the board, but you wouldn't be able to take out from the disciplinary probation like an act that harms another person.
So You can write anything in your constitution that you can get the student body to agree with you on. Whether or not you can readily discern what conduct violations meet your category of physical harm is a whole other mess. So like we don't have a category of policy violation called physical harm. Like, We have different verbiage that our code of conduct. So it would be easier if you would look at the code of conduct and then look at those different policies and say, if you have a violation in this policy, then you would not be eligible to be on Senate. But to just say some aspect of a policy, I don't know how you'd interpret that, unless you determine that you want a specific college individual to interpret that on your behalf, i.e. maybe the conduct coordinator, and then every student would have to give that person permission to notify you of such. So right now, the way that it works by doing it on the front end for candidacy is that each individual student that's applying, in essence, gives the Dean of Students Office permission to look at their conduct record and their academic record and discern whether or not they're currently on probation. And then, as a kindness to those students, we don't tell you, we actually tell them, and we say, hey, you're not eligible, so you might not want to turn this in. Now, if they wanted to turn it in without a signature, then they would, in essence, be giving the college permission to disclose that by default, because I wouldn't sign it, and without my signature, the ethics committee chair running would be like, oh, this isn't signed, perhaps I should make some assumptions about the fact that they're not eligible. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So senators would have to, like, give the dean of students office or some mechanism that isn't currently in place, which is part of the bigger problem with ascertaining how to move that forward in the moment. Not the past is easy, because the past has a beginning point of time, and it's anything moving forward that's complicated. I think I'm not making this question.
So we could, in theory, include physical harm, and
you could,
be a separate body that.
You can include physical harm. I just don't. I don't know how you'd ever define what that is based in a policy violation, because we don't charge someone with physical harm, and we don't find someone in violation of physical harm. We have other words for policies that get at that are more generic, so that they cover a whole bunch of stuff.
Sorry, I have a question for Jonas about all of this, and just a clarification. How often would you say there tends, in comparison of what
you're probably just
when looking at the statistics of conduct cases here at Gustavus, how common are sexual assault or Title IX violations in comparison to cases that involve physical harm, other physical harm to a student?
Other physical harm is even more rare than Title IX violations.
So kind of keeping in mind how complicated it sounds to be able to put that mechanism in place, and how aware those violations are, and the fact that this charge was particularly brought up with a particular experience and a particular momentum on campus, and particular situations on campus where they could end up connecting with Title IX violations and people in power. I personally think at this time it is within our interest to just kind of keep the language as it was proposed, and as many of those was proposed to put that in the charge.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator Lincoln?
I would just like to remind senators that parliamentary procedure, if you do not speak in a discussion, it is assumed that you're in favor of the motion. So if you're not in favor of this motion, you need to get your consent discussion before you move to vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none? Technically, so we're in the discussion for the amendment, but we move. So technically we're not voting on amending the Constitution at this moment, and you can't vote to amend the Constitution. It's a vote to consider. Anything that would be brought before today would be a vote to consider. So we're right now just voting if we want to amend the language that we are voting to consider today. Or are we even voting to consider? Did you want to vote to consider? Yeah.
I don't care, it's up to you guys. But if we do vote to consider, then it goes to the student body. We don't like vote to talk about it again next week and then vote to send the student body.
No, we have to, because there's a vote to consideration and we have to vote. There's a consideration and there's a loving time and we vote on it, and then it's a 2-week period, and then we bring to the student body. We have to vote to consider an amendment before we vote on it.
Says, upon being given the consideration, the Senate shall publicize the proposed amendment no later than 2 weeks before the proposed amendment is to be voted upon.
Okay.
copy of the program.
So with any changes that get made to our constitution are when we vote on it as a body, that's our voting for considering a change to constitution. Whereas when we vote something in the bylaws, that's a vote to change. So any vote by us on this amendment, if like when we choose to amend it, any vote that we pass is just considered a consideration, I think, as a body, because we're just saying we'd like to consider this amendment, or like this is an amendment that we want to make, and then we post it to the school. But we have to approve it for consideration first, and so that's a vote for us.
And that's happening today.
Is that happening today? Was that what you wanted?
I don't care.
No, you just brought, you were supposed to bring options.
Yeah.
So he brought options. Taylor proposed something that failed. Then Carl Eric proposed something that you're currently thinking about. So if you vote for this right now, you're saying that you would vote to consider, which means next week you'll all come back and then vote up or down on whether or not you're going to ask the student body to approve this to amend the Constitution.
Yeah.
And your ethics chair disagrees.
In the Constitution, I don't know.
You are ethics chair.
Yeah, throw it out there.
Where is the Constitution?
It's online.
I know, I have it.
Where is it?
Article 8, Amendments to the Constitution. So, any voting member of the Senate may bring an amendment to the Senate for a vote. Consideration shall be granted by 2/3 of the Senate body via a roll call vote. I'm skipping down. Because upon being granted consideration, the Senate shall publicize the proposed amendment no later than 2 weeks before the proposed amendment is to be voted upon. Then, skipping out further, it says the voting procedures for all referendums must adhere to what you guys have. That's all I see. I don't think there's anything that says there's a week between when we talk about it and then when we vote to consider it. Scoot up a little bit.
Maybe it doesn't need a week delay because you can't change it without the student body changing it. So maybe it doesn't matter if you willy-nilly send it out to the student body because you can't change it yourselves anyway.
It doesn't matter what we vote on because the student body says no, then
it's
not the student body says yes.
But if we throw out something willy-nilly,
so if you're trying to slow this down.
I'm not trying to slow it down at all. I'm just trying to think of the timeline and everything.
I also, does it say at least 2 weeks?
It
doesn't
says
say
at least
exactly
2 weeks.
Two
so
weeks.
It was, it has to be
no later than 2 weeks before.
Which is incorrect.
They shall publicize it no later than
closer.
So you, for a minimum of 2 weeks, you have to publicize.
Yes. And so, okay.
So you could publicize it for 3 weeks if spring break was causing you problems.
Yeah. But if we vote on it this week without the week to consider, then the vote would actually be taking place the week for, because I'm guessing you're not going to publicize it in time for it to go up to the whole student body tonight, and that would, it would have to happen on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday. So it would happen.
And I would suggest that you don't do anything the week before spring break, because no student will pay any attention to
you.
Oh, the language says no later then, so we can still publicize it now.
Yes. That's true.
If you all vote.
If everyone's good with voting on that and the discussion and changing our constitution, if that's the point that we're at, then we would vote. We would vote to consider this amendment. No.
No, you'd just vote.
We would just vote on this amendment
right
now.
You would just vote, and then if you vote yes to this, then you are obligated to take this to the student body in minimally 2 weeks, potentially longer, and ask them whether or not 2/3 of those voting people would like you to include that sentence in your constitution.
All right. Okay. Got it. This would be a roll call vote. With no further discussion, we do. Oh, all right, Senator Young.
I
someone gets expelled,
they can come back.
They're
right?
never allowed to return to the institution. But if somebody is suspended, then they would be allowed to come back at the end of their suspension period, which in Title IX violations most frequently corresponds to the graduation date of the victim. No, that would have to be, some people are suspended from the college, and when they return, they're placed on probation for a period of time after they return, and some people are suspended and they're placed on probation for the rest of their time after they return, and some people are suspended and they come back as good standing, not disciplined in probation. The board has to make a determination about the status of the student upon their return individually. So all possible things could happen upon their return.
So it's not easy to get that court book.
But what is the bar?
Suspended or expelled.
I would argue that even though this doesn't sound as pretty, this is very specific, clear language. And if the college, you know, like, let's say the federal government shows up tomorrow and says, now you're going to have double secret probation that you're required to place somebody on. And the college is going to have to do that because it's Title IX and we do whatever Title IX tells us to do. And then all of this becomes moot. So at least this way, you're clear on what we currently mean in our current understanding of Title IX.
With that, I don't think we have any more discussion. We're already partway to the vote. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, send your way.
Aye.
Senator Anderson. Senator Fowler.
Aye.
Senator Chukov.
No.
Senator Anderson.
Aye.
Senator Allen. Senator Hagiani.
Aye.
Senator Brock.
Aye.
Senator Butler. Senator Knudsen.
Aye.
Senator Kim. Senator Young.
Aye.
Senator Lane.
Aye.
Senator Steinman.
Aye.
Senator Larson.
Aye.
Senator Sino.
With that, the ayes have it. So we have voted this into consideration. Now we have to discuss the timeline for when we are going to be placing this. That is technically up to the ethics chair. Do you have a preference on? We can get, it just has to be within two, or no, at least 2 weeks since post notification. Of the student body, so you would have to decide on the date when we're going to have the vote, and then you would have to notify it before.
So just looking at the documents, it says the for the voting on this amendment has to follow the election procedure.
Yep.
So there are two different election procedures, one for fall and spring election.
I think it's referring to the guidelines as far as the time that the that it would have to be open for, because both of those are in terms of electing people, whereas this is for changing the governing document. And so I think that anytime that we've done it, it has basically the timeline that it talks about for elections is just the voting polling place has to be open for a certain amount of time and everything. Oh,
just as far as tabling, different amount. We table.
Yes. You table. There is tabling.
I would have to, just based on past experience, that it would be optimal if we could table for 5 hours. Even more optimal if we could align it with 5 minutes. So the sooner the better, my thought.
Yeah. Knowing our history with our voting pool system, and how sometimes things get a little double double previously, not considering this, is there any concern with the fact that we would have both a vote going on for a name and this is a yes or no?
Separate question?
Yes, and there's a separate part.
Cool.
So, like, House of Representatives can vote on both classes, whereas all the other classes can only vote on the other one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like cool. In fall elections, you vote for your hall senator and your class senator.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would help with voters in the House as well.
I think the other most important thing that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to explain carefully and thoughtfully to the student body what it is that you're trying to vote. So I don't think that you can just, like, put out, like, we're going to add this line, we'll vote yes or no. I think you're going to want to lay out a thoughtful discussion about what your reason was for wanting to add this line so that you have justification in a document, I would argue, that you would send to the student body around why this is important. Put together a committee board.
Senator Wicklin?
So while this is a very fruitful discussion, I don't think in our Constitution that it says that the Senate had to decide this timeline necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to move that we just trust the Ethics Committee slash cabinet to decide this timeline. And the Senator, is there a second to the motion? Was that a motion?
Yes.
That was a motion?
So I don't know what the motion was.
The motion is for Ethics Committee slash Cabinet to decide what the timeline is going to be without the involvement of the body. Is
there a second? Second goes to Senator Concepcion. Discussion on the motion to let Ethics. Congressman O'Neill.
I have a question. When I just notify the student body, even though you're talking about like a document deal?
I'm just saying that, and this is irrelevant to Taylor Wicklin's motion on the floor, whatever. I'm just saying that I think you owe it to the student body to explain to them your thinking, and that you shouldn't just like say, hey, there's a vote coming up in 2 weeks. I think you need to finesse it a little bit better. But meanwhile, I'm out of order because you've got a motion.
So to clarify, you just want us to take care of the notification.
Either way, Ethics does that. It was more of a discussion on like what Senate felt was a good timeline, but if we're in the motion on just Ethics choosing the timeline. Yeah. All right. Further discussion on the motion. Back in discussion, Senator Wicklin, so before.
All right. Is there any other old business? Yes. Is there any other old business? Old business? Old business? Seeing none. New business.
And I don't believe we have anything exactly under new business.
All right. So any new business? Senator Wicklin.
A constituent of mine approached me and with concerns about the fact that in Arboretum we're not allowed to have dogs. And they were concerned with people with TSA is not having access to that walk, and then also students who have family members who visit with like their dog or whatever not really having an acceptable common space with their dog, I guess. So I would like to turn to an academic affairs to look into the policy a little bit more just to get to understand why the Arboretum has that policy and see if there are possible changes that could be made to that policy.
Is there a second on the motion? Second on the motion? Second goes to Senator Tengsel. Tengsel. All right. Second goes to Senator Tengsel. Discussion on the motion?
So, yeah, just repeating what I said, concerns about it. Something I have heard concerns about in the past would be tonight, there's a lot of people don't have knowledge.
Senator Concepcion?
Yeah. More a question for anyone who knows or even the resident here is like, who do we contact? Like, is there a specific department for the ARB or is it like facility department?
I can tell you that when the policy was enacted, it was a policy that was made at the cabinet level, which is one of the highest levels of governance at the college. So it was not an ARB decision, it was an institutional decision made at the cabinet level. And it was made sometime after 2002 and before 2011. Well, I can tell you why it exists, if that's helpful. It exists because people were letting their dogs have fun free time in the ARB, and there was concern that the dogs were frightening the wildlife that was making its home in the ARB.
Okay, and then
continue
to follow because it was a cabinet decision, would that have to go to cabinet?
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to thank you for my motion to talking to Arboretum staff about what they think would be the best possible policy for allowing dogs to not run the wildlife that the short.
Alright, discussion on the motion. Seeing none, moving to a vote. All those in favor of charging student academic affairs to talk to the ARB about potential ways to allow dogs in a park without disrupting wildlife?
Yes.
Say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Abstentions? So charged. All right, back into new business. Yes. Okay.
The constituent also approached graduation timeline where in the past at graduation on Sunday and then you have to move out on Sunday. And this student noted that graduation was on Saturday this year and we were being asked to move out on Saturday, so the student would like to have the opportunity to move out on Sunday. So there are a few technical complications with that just because a lot has to be organized with the next day of seniors moving out and then a lot of like summer workers.
motion? Seeing none, the motion fails. All right, back into new business. Is there any other new business? Other new business? Ms. Person O'Neill?
I received one note after the local presidential election of one person that was concerned about the voter turnout. Obviously, it was just snow day, so it was cold if you were voting, and there was only not a pretty hot ballot. But I think that was something that maybe we should talk about briefly with the cabinet if you thought about that.
Other new business? Other new business? Other new business? Seeing none? Announcements! All right. All right, ha ha ha. As the first person on the announcements list, I want to formally congratulate our new co-president-elect, and co-president-elect Lamberty, who is not currently in the United States. She's studying abroad, but she will be back, and she's having lots of talks with our other co-president-elect. Anyway, so congratulations. And that being said, we're also going to have a vote for class of 2019, and we're going to have to get a new Senate speaker. So that's going to happen as well. Consider taking on that. I will probably do that. All right, besides that, what else? That is it? Yes, okay. I yield. Senator Schugel.
So we're doing student senate apparel. I'll be sending out a survey at some point this week to decide like what style we'll get, like t-shirts, long sleeves, like that, so just figure out.
Co-president-elect Algar?
I don't know if I am. Senate should know that now in ethics that this might be kind of trend good.
Oh.
So ethics is not big enough, so when you make it, you can see it.
Apply to ethics.
Yeah.
It's
fun.
Okay.
That's so fun to make with it. But it's my time.
I'm
there.
Congratulations, like it's an advocate and so then I'd like to meet with that
community. I'm a personal.
Yeah, apply for ethics is cool. I was gonna congratulate Hassan too and also speaker thing that we already got. If you have a question for Hassan, you can stop by our badminton game this weekend at 3 on Sunday in the early afternoon and we'll
All right, Administrator Director Saban. All right, Senator Wicklund. All right, two announcements. It is Africa Week. Yay! On Friday evening, I think it's Friday evening, we will have Africa Night, which is really cool on campus event. They've won major in the past. It's being really cool on campus event, and there's always really good food, so I definitely recommend going. They really do posters that have all the details on it for time, and all that. Probably won't mind. Wednesday, the DLC. DLC is supporting local high schoolers in their national walkout against gun violence. Details just got a little fuzzy today with them, so just keep your eyes open for another email for an update Wednesday morning in case the Sunrise Drive walk is getting canceled, but we will for sure be in front of Olney at 10 a.m., so please go to Olney at 10 a.m. to show your support for that. I do. And back to my Maggie.
Two things. Thing number one, there's a cool thing going around about the idea of walking up, and they're actually talking about it instead of walking down. I don't care about the instead of, but I love the idea of walking up, which is that there's a profile of individuals who tend to be shooters in school situations. They tend to be people who are isolated, people who are socially remote, and who often feel disconnected from their peers, And so the idea of the walk-up is that you start intentionally trying to connect with other kids who seem to fit that profile, and that you reach out a hand of friendship and of checking in and checking up with people, which is just a totally Gustavus kind of thing to do. So I just want to advocate for you to think about walking up, and also to advocate for you to talk to your peers about the importance of walking up. And then the other thing I want to say is lots of snaps and big cheers to Liz Taven and her colleagues at Building Bridges for just an amazing DVD.
All right, further announcements? Seeing none, medium